2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. We recognize that Jesus Christ is risen. We finished a journey that we celebrated and we recognized for multiple weeks during the season of Lent. We reached a crescendo and a conclusion. Easter ended with the high of reaching the ascent of the mountaintop, of seeing the face and the power of God, witnesses to the resurrection. And then it was over. After weeks of preparing, diminishing ourselves, cutting things away from our lives, we celebrate with a feast. And then on Monday, we go back to doing it for ourselves. As a preacher, it's an odd letdown. As you then have to figure out what comes next, you then have to figure out how to keep the crowd. You see, after weeks of telling people that it's all about Jesus, when Easter is concluded, we go back to proving that we're good enough once again. And then you get the post-Easter depression. And it's not just an emotional state, it's also an attendance state, right? After Easter, people that you see haven't seen for years disappear again, only to be resurrected at Christmas. But attendance drops. And then it becomes about meeting expectations instead of praising God. You see, insecure people can never truly enjoy. We always have a tendency to worry about what's coming up next. I always look at the kids when they're doing a show, and James is in the middle of a show, and every time they finish a show, one of the things you always worry about is, what's next? What are you going to do to top that? An athlete wins the World Series, and they say, what are you going to do next year? Well, can we wait till the champagne is poured? You see, that's what we do. We're so busy, we're too busy planning the next act that few of us ever take the moment to enjoy what God has done. I cook at home. And I like to cook for people. But there's a problem if after you've served the dinner, all you could think of is how quick you can get the dishes in the dishwasher. You ever been there? Have you ever lived that life where you're constantly concerned about the next thing? It's an insecurity because it means that you have to show other people that you're worthy. And unfortunately, it means that you live a life without joy, without tasting your food, without smelling the flowers, without experiencing the wonder that God has given to us in this wonderful world. Those who try to do it on their own live in a wonderless world in which our expectations weigh us down. and we lose our wonder and our joy and our worship. Now, I'm going to go to one of the experts on wonder. You remember the song, What a Wonderful World? I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed days, dark sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. There's preaching going on here. Everything is wonderful when you allow it to be seen and experienced and tasted. But how many people take the time? How many people watch and listen and engage in the wonder? Post-Easter shouldn't stress you. Post-Easter is about drinking in the wonder. Today we heard from the book of Revelation. It's not what you typically think of. When you hear that the pastor's going to be doing a month-long series on the book of Revelation, you think that he's going to be talking about dragons and crowns and beasts from the sea, right? Hale Lindsey's name is going to be used in vain. But this time, we're going to look at it with wonder. We're going to look at those, and I can't help but say this. When I was a kid, these were the boring passages. Praising God. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought that you didn't know what you would do in heaven? There are people that have said that to me. They tell me that, you know, they're afraid. They're almost worried. You know, they don't know if they want to go to heaven if all they're going to do is sit around on a cloud all day playing a harp, right? And I instantly check their DNA to see if they're a cartoon animal. Because that's where you play a harp and float around in a cloud. But the truth is that we don't know what to do if we're not functioning. Because we've been trained well to act, to do, to make it about us. Worship is not about us, as much as we try to make it so. Oftentimes in worship, as preachers, we can't wait to get to the good part. And the good part is when we get to talk. Why? Because then it's about us. We forget why we're here. Because it's about God. It's about what God has done for me. But in order for me to understand that, I have to change my worldview. I have to stop looking in the mirror to find what God sees and start looking through the view and the vision of God. I have to start looking at the world in a way in which we can see, we can hear babies cry and watch them grow, because it's a wonderful world. We have to begin to understand that when we see God's glory, then we can find our joy and our peace. What a wonderful worldview it is when we see through the lens of God. The first thing you see when John enters God's throne room, and there's cherubim and seraphim and all the creatures of the world, and they're all praising God. The rocks and stones themselves are coming to life, and they're singing God's praises. Those animals who have been mute, the creatures over the sea and under the sea, are singing the praises of God. And they're saying one thing: worthy. Now let me tell you who's not worthy. Let's start there. I'm not worthy. They're not praising the people. They're praising the Lamb. We're seeing the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We're seeing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. We're recognizing that He is worthy to be praised. Why? It's not the reason that you'd think. You'd think that Jesus is worthy to be praised because He's Jesus, right? Because He won, right? Well, now we're finding something a little bit different. We're finding why Easter is important and what we have to crow about. You see, most people would say, worthy is the Lamb who was raised. Right? But what do they say? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You see, Jesus died. He worshiped in everything He was. He lowered Himself. Now, this is hard for me to accept. Because if you're like me, you spend most of your life trying to raise yourself. You sit in the mirror every day, you know, and you're like an Al Franken character from an old Saturday Night Live, and you're saying, I'm good enough, and I'm worthy, and people like me, right? Try to convince yourself that there's a reason. And Jesus said, I'm going to walk away from this. I'm going to reject the praise. I am going to give everything. And I'm going to lay it down for others and to glorify God. And as Paul tells us, He stepped down from His glory. He stepped down from His power. He stepped down from His authority. He stepped down from even His life to die for me, the unworthy one. And that's why He's worthy. And what is He worth? Riches and power and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. All those things that we want, all those things that we seek, all those things that the world promises. Jesus is worthy of receiving because He's rejected them. Because He said no to their power and their authority over Him. Now He's going to receive them. God has a way of transforming things in ways that we don't quite understand. We read it in Psalm 30 today. For You have turned my sorrow into joyful dancing. No longer am I sad and wearing sackcloth. I thank You from my heart, and I will never stop singing Your praises, my Lord and my God. You turned my sorrow into joyful dancing. God changes your worldview. God changes your perspective. God changes who we are and how we see the world. And that's Easter blessing. God transforms your life. God saves you from the pit, we heard in Psalm 30. God will rescue you from death, we hear from Psalm 30. All of that is true. But post-Easter vision is about seeing the world no longer with sorrow, but now with joyful dancing. That's resurrection spirit. That is resurrection vision. And that is a resurrected life. Our new lens in Jesus Christ, our new salvation that we have discovered at Easter time, lets us know that we have a new life, and that new life can give us a new vision and a new hope today. We no longer need to grasp at making ourselves worthy. You know, when we do well, one of the things we love is an attaboy. Do you like an attaboy? I love an attaboy. Maybe an attagirl. But I love getting, oh, good job. And then it terrifies me. Because a good job today means I got to meet it next week too. Right? And so what do? We say, well, did I do as well as I did yesterday? What am I going to do tomorrow? Right? I tell my kid he did a good job. I love you. You did a good job. And then I'm immediately terrified that he's going to attach I love you to you did a good job and think that he has to earn it every time. Okay, jump through the hoop, Fido, and you'll get a treat. Anyone feel like you're on a leash jumping through hoops? Easter tells me this. I am not worthy, but I'm worth everything to God. I am not good enough, but God is loving enough to love me whether I'm good or whether I'm bad. I can't earn it, and I can't do it. But here's the blessing. God's already given it. And my job today is to live in it, be alive, enjoy it. But church, there are people in our church that aren't alive. We're not enjoying it. We're so worried about what's next that we're not smelling the flowers and enjoying the sunshine and dancing in the rain. In Christ, we are new. We are joyful. What does that mean? We are filled with joy. We are loved. We are made fresh. We're alive. Now, in the days to come, show you're alive. Enjoy the taste of your food. Jesus did. Walk on the wet grass in the morning and drink in the air, that fresh, pure air of a spring day after the rain. Do you like it? Have you smelled it in a while? Look at the clouds or the stars. Take the time to just focus a little bit on a kid's smile. Live. Being born again is a blessing. Live that new life. Don't let it be crowded out by the difficulties or the dangers or the problems. Live that life. You want to know what to do after Easter? Live it. Love it. Share it. Tell your story. Praise your God. Sing. Dance. Love. That's what we do. In a few moments, we're going to come to the table. We're going to do it in a different way today. We're going to have something a little different. Can we cope with it? Are we going to be able to live it? Come on, I want to hear louder than that. Can we live it? All right, good, good. Here's what we're going to do. Let me explain what we're going to do. Because we are going to move with music, and we are going to celebrate with music. Now, don't hurt yourself, okay? But let me just share with you how we're going to do it. The choir is going to be singing, and during the time the choir sings, we're going to be bringing the elements forward, and we are going to have you come forward to partake of it. As we've done over the last several months, you'll be coming forward from each of your pews. You'll be coming forward into the middle, stepping forward to receive the bread and then the cup, and then you can deposit your cup in the bowl. If you'd like to give your offering for missions this month, you can do so by offering in the basket in front. As they sing, we will move. This means that all of the things that we will do, I will do right now. Words of institution, prayers over the elements, I'm going to share them with you in just a moment. And then once we sing, it will be the choir singing and us focusing on what we're doing, coming forward, participating, breathing in, and breathing out, experiencing life. Let's pray as we prepare. Loving God, at the cross, you took on all of our pain, all of our sorrow, all of our sin. On Easter Sunday, you rose beyond and above, and you filled us with joy. Help us to resist the temptation to be drawn back down into the pit. Help us to soar. Help us to be alive again. We thank you for life. We thank you for salvation. We praise you for resurrection. And we ask that your Spirit would help us to live a resurrected life. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we ask it all. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.